While most of the tenants of the World Trade Center were commercial businesses, there were other non-commercial tenants. There was even a program that provided artists with studio space in the Twin Towers. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports on some of the artists whose lives and work were affected by the attacks of September 11th.
For a long time, the Port Authority had allowed artists onto the top floors of the World Trade Center towers to give them access to the incomparable view. But a few years ago, Mukhtar Kokash of the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council decided to take the idea further. Kokash wanted to give artists of all kinds studio space in the towers for 5 months at a time as a sort of social experiment.
It was an opportunity to bring thinkers and cultural producers into the space so that they can comment on this environment, be inspired from it, raise certain questions about the building, about its culture, about New York City, about the architecture, and just give us an alternative view of what these iconic buildings represent.
Many of the artists had never worked in a corporate environment, let alone in a complex like the Trade Center, a place that was to many people the essence of soulless modern architecture. With its low ceilings, extensive security systems, and long, thin windows, it seemed to some of the artists austere and confining. Photographer and video artist John Pilson was intrigued by how the smooth, seamless corporate spaces were so cut off from the city outside. Pilson says entering the towers felt like being abducted by space aliens.
All of a sudden, you know, you're on the street and everything's kind of normal. Then you're going up, and then there are these lights and blinking lights and computers, and you look down and you're floating above the city, and then you get spit out at the end of the shift, and it's like a hallucination. You know, you can smell things again, and you're back on Earth. I mean, after a long 12-hour stretch in one of these spaces, it is kind of like returning.
What fascinated Pilson was seeing how Trade Center workers inhabited the spaces, putting their stamp on them, forming communities. Musician Stephen Vitello attached small microphones to the tower's windows, hoping to hear the stray noises that tended to disappear in the white noise that enveloped the building. Listening through his headphones, he achieved a certain intimacy with the building, he said, like a doctor using a stethoscope. In 1999, he recorded the creaks and groans of the building as it was being buffeted by the winds of Hurricane Floyd. Inevitably, being in the towers challenged people's assumptions. Painter Kara Hammond at first planned to use the setting for a critique of corporate America, but after working at the center, watching traders play tag in the stairwells and listening to their jokes, she abandoned the idea.
My initial idea of the building changed a lot after I started going there, and I started to get into the rhythm of the place and getting to see the same people that I, you know, I was started to get to know people in the elevator from Car Futures and, you know, from, you know, the guards on all, you know, the various checkpoints. And it was a place full of middle-class people going about their lives, doing their everyday routine, just trying to make a living, just trying to do their work.
And Hammond says there was that view, majestic, transcendental. You look down at clouds and helicopters. John Pilson said it made philosophers out of everybody. Late on the evening of September 10th, multimedia artist Monica Bravo taped the view for the last time.
I had a strange feeling, like I couldn't make up my mind which of the windows I wanted to have. There was this beautiful storm coming, just very beautiful, and I started to turn on the camera. I leave it there. 3 minutes later, I decided that I see that the storm is going over there, so I move, and I started moving all around. And I took the tape with me, and that was practically the only thing that I took home. Everything else stayed there and, you know, blew away.
The following morning, Liz Thompson, who heads the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council, was in the lobby of Tower 1 talking to someone from the building's management office about an upcoming project.
This sound happened. You know, it was strange because in the lobby it felt more to me like a vacuum. I don't know, I can't explain it, just the air changed. And it was, there was this thud and there was, you know, stuff falling out, glass on the water side of the building. But I just remember saying over and over to him, this isn't good. you know, this isn't good. I mean, like, what an understatement.
Going outside, Thompson saw that the plane had struck the building right where the studio was. In the hours to come, she would learn that two artists were there at the time. One woman managed to make it downstairs, just ahead of the smoke and heat. But Jamaican-born sculptor Michael Richards, who'd been working all night, was killed. The newspapers would later run a photo of a work Richards had done of a Tuskegee airman posed as Saint Sebastian. As Richards had conceived it, the figure was pierced not by arrows, but by small planes. There have been lesser losses as well. Some of the artists had transferred much of their work to the Trade Center. It's all gone now. Back in her studio in Brooklyn, Kara Hammond has tried to recreate some of the work she lost from memory.
My initial response was, you know what, I'm going to do that work anyway. I'm going to make that work anyway. I'm going to make it the way, as close to what it was as I can remember. It's not going to be the same, but they're not going to take this away from me.
But Hammond has been unable to work much. Like many New Yorkers, she feels unexpectedly nostalgic about the Trade Center, and she's written down everything she can remember about the place in her journals. For video artist John Pilson, who watched the towers fall from the street, the attack has underscored the shortcomings of his own craft. Pilson says the edited and processed shots shown on TV right now don't begin to convey the horror of that morning. Liz Thompson says before September 11th, she tended to view making art as a personal statement. She worries that in the post-attack environment, individual expression may be threatened, but she's also struggling with questions about the artist's place in society.
I think we all feel part of a greater whole because of this than we did before. I think we were able to live in our own spheres a bit more easily than we can now. And so that is going to affect artists and people who support artists making art. But how and to what degree, I don't know yet.
The way those questions are answered could help determine what happens to the program now. Officials hold out hope that it may one day be revived in another location. But it can only be a much different program now that the buildings that inspired it are gone. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.